You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. One thing that many expect to see come out of the recent flooding and the new climate resilience bond is a buyback program, or programs, for coastal properties vulnerable to repeated flooding. Experts have said for years that such programs are a necessary step, but for obvious reasons, nobody wants to be the one to make the decision about what to let go. And then there's the money needed to actually buy out coastal property owners. The Environmental Law Institute has developed a series of handbooks and resources for communities considering a buyout program. Rebecca Kisslinger is a science and policy analyst with the Environmental Law Institute, and she joins me now. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Money is obviously an issue when it comes to these buyout programs, but it seems like there's a greater inertia just even getting started, even saying that you're considering a buyout program can be so sensitive, so controversial. What are your tips for communities that are thinking we might need to do this? How do we actually get started and how do we start to set some priorities and goals?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think these are sensitive issues. These are people's livelihoods and their homes. And we should always remember that when talking about buyouts. So I think those are two, I think, really important things. One, the programs that we've worked on are federal government programs. So money comes through FEMA often or sometimes through other agencies like HUD. But I think, you know, those are important things to remember at first, that these are voluntary programs oftentimes. And that always communities, when they're considering whether or not to enter into a buyout, should get input from community members all along the way, from considering the buyout to how it's going to be structured, to who's going to be involved, and to what might happen with the properties after the structures are removed.
Well, that's an important point, that buying out a coastal property doesn't necessarily mean that that property then just sits there vacant and unused. Communities can and probably should, before they even start buying out properties, think about what they might want to use that area for in the future. What are some of the possibilities? What are some of the ways that you've seen communities use bought out coastal properties?
I think there are a lot of opportunities to use the land that is acquired through these programs. At least under the federal programs, once those properties are acquired and structures are removed, those programs require that they remain in an open space use. So a lot of communities have taken advantage of that and found opportunity. So we've seen things like community parks, community gardens, some green infrastructure projects.
And what do you mean by green infrastructure?
So green infrastructure is a way to collect and sometimes treat stormwater. So there include things like bioswales or, other kinds of water collection habitat areas. So we've seen there's a community in Ohio where they took some of the properties and turned that into a bioswale where it collects some of the stormwater that comes in a rainstorm events in that community and provides some stormwater storage for that community.
That seems like a double bonus. Not only are you eliminating the risk of a damaged property, but you're actually turning that space into an area that can protect other properties farther back from the shore.
Exactly. And I think that's the real focus of a lot of the work that we're doing, is that not only can we get people and property out of harm's way and reduce some of the disaster response and recovery costs from future disasters and all of the hardship that goes with those future disasters, but also provide opportunities to use those properties to provide additional resilience or disaster mitigation benefits.
You mentioned the importance of public involvement from the very beginning, getting property owners and other communities, community members on board. What does that actually look like in your experience? How do you start to broach this topic, particularly with those property owners who are likely to be affected?
So we've made a step-by-step guide on our website. Oftentimes at the beginning, when talking with landowners and homeowners about buyout programs, it kind of takes a go out and knock on doors efforts. But once you have some community, members interested It might take bringing them together to a workshop or a community meeting to talk about what the opportunities are, what the buyout program is all about, what the goals and objectives of the community are for that program, ensure that people know that it's a voluntary program and they're not out to take homes from people, but their goals are to protect people from future disasters and also to look at the opportunities for what to do with those properties, and then really listening to what their input is and incorporating that into the goals and objectives and plans for use of the property.
I'm talking with Rebecca Kisslinger of the Environmental Law Institute about coastal buyout programs as a strategy for making communities more resilient to rising seas. There's got to be a consideration of the cost, obviously, in considering a program like this. I mean, there's a cost just to formulating that plan. So is there any ballpark estimate for what it takes to try to do a buyout program?
You know, it depends on the size of the program. It depends on where that is in your community. So I'm not sure I could give a ballpark estimate, but I can talk a little bit about, you know, what kinds of funding might be needed for the program. You know, as I mentioned, the federal government has a number of programs through which they acquire properties that have been damaged in disasters, a number of programs from FEMA and from HUD. Those programs, though, often do require a local match, sometimes coming from the state or local government. And then, you know, we also like to always talk about maintenance and long-term management of those sites. And that's another way the community can get involved if you have community buy-in from the beginning. And communities have been really creative with how they've, identified different funding sources for those kinds of projects.
You mentioned that there's federal funding available to buy out properties that have already been damaged by a declared disaster.
Right.
Are there funds available to start doing this before properties are destroyed by a disaster, to do this preemptively?
Yeah. So FEMA's pre-disaster mitigation grant program does provide some money for buyouts in advance. And in the most recent budget bill that was passed by the federal government, they did increase that program to a record level. But that's still, you know, not enough money to buy out as many homes across the country as people are, you know, would volunteer to sell. So several states have developed buyout programs or have identified funding streams to provide money for acquiring properties and not necessarily after a disaster. And then some local governments have set aside funding for purchasing programs. We did a case study in one community in Wisconsin where they have set aside some local funds to purchase homes when they become available in their target region.
And when you've got this federal funding, are they paying market rates for these homes? I mean, in coastal Massachusetts, that could get quite pricey.
Yeah, generally the federal programs are providing market rate pre-disaster value for the homes, but as you mentioned, that can get quite pricey. So that's definitely a stumbling block or a barrier for purchasing homes, is the amount of funding there. But the programs do offer pre-disaster market value.
Do you feel like these coastal buyout programs are becoming increasingly common? Are you seeing more of them? And does it typically take a disaster to push a community into actually doing this?
I think probably motivation is highest after a disaster for folks to want to participate in a buyout program, for sure. I do think that we will see more and more buyouts happening as, you know, we see an increase in some such severe storms as we've been seeing, you know, over the past few years that are causing record levels of disaster costs.
That's Rebecca Kisslinger. She's a science and policy analyst with Environmental Law Institute. Rebecca, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Up next, a major new initiative to study a part of the ocean called the Twilight Zone. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.